I'm excited to be able to share God's word with you today. And we are not going to be heading too quickly back to Matthew. We're going to be taking one more week and then we'll be right back into Matthew. But to this week, as the Connections Group Director, I get to talk about community this week. And so I'm really excited because one of the things even just seeing this morning was how obedient we were already to the text that we're going to talk about today, that we were already sharing in so many different community aspects that I was just blessed by this community this morning already. So one, thank you for being obedient to God's word and being here and worshiping and sharing in the devotion to Jesus. But let me jump in today because we've got a lot of things to hammer through, and I think we'll be able to do it in a good time. Let me just start my timer, but let me do this. Let me pray for us before we get started. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and then we'll go into the rest of the time. Father, your kindness and goodness is something that we could only dream of or imagine. And yet you continue to give it to us. And even since the early church in Acts, you've poured out your spirit. You've continued to do work in ways that we can only imagine. So Father, would you help us to learn how to be a devoted community to you that comes and develops a deep, deep community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I'm going to say some words, and for a certain demographic here, you'll maybe know exactly what I'm talking about. It goes like this. You want to be where you can see. Your troubles are all... Some of you already got it. You want to be where you can see. Your troubles are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows what? Come on. Right? Now, if you are a certain age demographic that did not get that, that's okay. Think of the equivalent to maybe like friends of like, I'll be there for you or something of that nature, right? But if you were of a certain demographic that knew what we were talking about there, you automatically went back in your brain to a dingy bar in Boston and likely seen an image of Cliff the mailman and Norm, the accountant, and later, I guess, a janitor. I didn't know this. But you know, if you don't know the show, this show was called Cheers. Cheers was one of my favorite shows that I would end up falling asleep to while my parents watched it. It was awesome. But one of the most endearing aspects of this show was their devotion to show up to the same bar, talk to the same people, and share life together. Because of their devotion to this bar, they gained a community that most people could only dream of. And let's be honest, don't we all want that kind of community? A community where people know your name and they're always glad you came? Right? What would it take for us as believers to gain that type of community? Well, here's the problem. Patronage to a local pub is only a shadow of what community could actually be. What if you could go to a place where they didn't only know your name, but the devotion that you shared brought about a deep sense of community where people shared what they had, took care of each other's needs, and recruited people into a kingdom that would reign forever? What if the troubles you had were all the same, but they didn't just decide, here's a beer, buddy, you'll be all right. But rather, they invited you into experiencing the power of God. Rather than a patronage to Cheers, you were devoted to the one who gave his very life for you. See, Today, I want you, if you don't get anything, I want you to get this one thing. Devotion develops deep community. Devotion develops deep community. And so as we think about how devotion is developed and it develops deep community, I want to show you two main things that they were devoted to. First, they were devoted to learning, devotion to learning develops deep community. And second, devotion to sharing develop deep community. But before we get into the passage, I want to give you a little bit of context about this passage. You see, Peter, earlier in chapter 2, had just laid out a gospel message for the ages. And it wasn't like this, like, hoorah, yeah. It was like, knock the slobber out of the Jewish people's mouth kind of sermon, that it was so powerful that people couldn't help but to repent and decide to follow Jesus. And as a result, verse 41 tells us that 3,000 people came to know Jesus that day. Think about that. 3,000 people. Now, I can only imagine what that felt like, because I know how excited I get when one believer comes to know Jesus, right? But 3,000? This would have been such a momentous moment, as well as an affirming moment that, oh, this is what we're doing. This is the call that we're going to participate in. But then the moment hits them. We have 3,000 new people, 3,000 people that are brand new to the faith. Essentially, think of it this way. We have 3,000 spiritual kindergartners. All of a sudden, let me just even add to this. Let's not just say 3,000 spiritual kindergartners, but 3,000 random people that decided to be disciples of Jesus. And I'm talking about from all walks of life. You probably had some zealots out there. You had Pharisees that maybe came and joined the party. The random sheep farmer, right? The random guy who tells bad dad jokes, right? All these people now were in one melting pot of a community that had been following Jesus, and now all these other people had come together. This was brand new. This was a community of people that was so brand new that they needed some things. So let me ask the question. What do these spiritual kindergartners need first? Well, they need teachers to teach them the way of Jesus, which brings us to our first point, and that is devotion to learning develops deep community. Devotion to learning develops deep community. So if you're in Acts, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 first, and we're just going to take this first chunk here, Acts 2:42a, they says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. This seems like a fairly simple statement, but it comes with a lot of interesting factors. So what Luke does, he does something interesting with this passage as a whole. He begins by sharing this short sentence, and there's another part of this sentence. You can obviously read that if you have your Bibles with you, but he gives this short sentence and then kind of expounds on it on the following verses. He says that they were devoted to four things, and I'm actually going to argue today that it was mainly two things, that it was this apostles' teaching and fellowship, right? And I would argue that the breaking of bread and prayers are an extension of what fellowship truly is. So we're going to be arguing for two main things that they were devoted to, the apostles' teachings and the fellowship. The breaking of bread and prayers would be a description of their fellowship, but more on that to come. So what we need to first define is, what is devotion. What is devotion? In Greek, we see this word defined this way: to continue to do something with intense effort despite difficulty. So whatever these people, these 3,000 people, plus the ones who were already disciples of Jesus were doing, they were devoted and they continued with intense effort despite difficulty. This word had a sense of continuity that it continued on and on. I like to say it this way. They had a stubborn stick-to-itiveness. If you think of devotion, I want you to think a stubborn stick-to-itiveness. So the first thing that we catch here is that they were devoted to the apostles' teachings. As a new community of believers, the first thing they needed was the teaching from these apostles. And funny enough, the apostles, who were the former students of Jesus, had to now take on the role of teacher. And at the end of Matthew, we kind of get a vision for what truly is it that they're supposed to teach. Because in Acts chapter 2, we're not sure what they were teaching outside of the... They were devoted to the apostles' teachings. But I couldn't help but think of going back to Matthew chapter 28, where it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.'" Catch this. "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So the likelihood of what the apostles were teaching is whatever Jesus had taught them and to obey what Jesus had taught, right? So while we don't see exactly what the apostles' teaching were, we can likely surmise the teaching revolved around the work of the life and work of Jesus, the commands of Jesus, and the message of Jesus, and how all of the Hebrew Bible at that time all pointed to Jesus. So it begs the question, how devoted were these people? How devoted to the teachings of Jesus were these people? Well, Acts 2:46 tells us this. "Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts." How dedicated were they? They met every day in the temple courts. The devotion to the teachings of the apostles was something that was not just a Sunday thing. They experienced this, that they were so enraptured by the teachings of the apostles that they were willing to go every single day to the temple as a community and grow and learn together. And this is what began to foster this deep sense of community. If you're going together all the time to places where you're talking about the same things, believing the same things, all of a sudden these brand new groups of people were starting to talk like one another, act like one another, starting talking like Jesus and acting like Jesus together. And so their devotion to show up and hear the teachings of Jesus from the apostles began to develop this deep, deep sense of community. They were so devoted to Jesus that, and we see this, that they continued to meet together. And funny enough, this Greek word for continued is right in line with the word devotion. They were devoted to going to the temple every day and spending time together as a community learning the teachings of Jesus. They had a stubborn stick-to-itiveness when it came to learning together, even when they had to go and learn in the public square. So, what can this new community of believers tell us about how learning together develops deep community? Well, first, our communities must be devoted to Jesus Christ. As we meet together, whether here or, you know, like my personal favorite, our connection groups, right? When we meet together, the central aspect of everything that we do must be around the person and work of Jesus. If we're simply getting together and hanging out and it's not wrapped in the life, work, and resurrection of Jesus, we're nothing greater than the Elks Club. We're nothing greater than going and joining a country club because we're just getting together and being buddies. But you see, the early believers were devoted to the apostles' teachings so much so that Jesus became the central figure of everything they did. And so our communities must be devoted to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the reality. Our best way to do that is by opening our word together. You see, Genesis to Revelation, there is a scarlet thread of the gospel that runs all the way through, that all centers on the person and work of Jesus. And as we get together in our communities, we have a choice whether to be devoted to the teachings and hold each other up to the accountability of being obedient to Jesus, or we can just choose just to get together and have fun. Right? You can come to youth group with me and just come and hang out and have fun and be with your buddies. But that there's never going to be a devotion. If there's not a devotion to Jesus and a devotion to learning about Jesus, it's only going to be school 2.0. The thing that makes youth group different is that the focus is on the person and work of Jesus while having fun together. That is why we do what we do. So if the Bible is gospel-centered, therefore, deep communities are also gospel-centered. And finally, the other thing I want you to know is that they didn't just learn by themselves. They learned in community. You see, the reality is we live in this rugged Western individualistic mentality that we can go and just study and read our own books and listen to our own podcasts and hear our own sermons. But if we are never within a group context discussing what we learn, what we're going to experience is if we by chance fall into places where heresy exists, there's nobody around to correct us to follow the right way. You see, the community is a safeguard for those of us who decide to follow and trust in Jesus. And so being devoted to learning within a community means that we're going to be safeguarded from heresy. We're going to be safeguarded from false teachings. So what would my encouragement be to you today? Read your Bibles together. Find a group of people and just start opening the word together. Better yet, join a connection group, be devoted to it, and read your word together, pray together, study together, because a devotion to learning develops a deep community. So, if a deep community is developed by learning together, how else did the early believers develop a deep community? Well, it brings us to our second point, and that's this. Devotion to sharing develops a deep community. I'm going to now read this kind of full section because there are so many things intermingled. I just want to go through all of Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. It says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad, sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Can I just pause for a second? I long to be in a community like this, where there is this kind of sharing, devotion to sharing and learning, where it is so palpable to the outside world that they see it and they're so compelled and they're like, I've got to be a part of this. And because there were people being added to their number daily. And let me just be clear, this is just describing what's happening. This is not a prescription, but I think we can take something from this and recognize that we, if our communities begin to mimic some of the things that we see in Acts, we might see just a little bit of what they've seen in Acts. I digress. Anyways, so second to the apostles' teachings, Luke tells us that this brand new community was devoted to fellowship, in which he expounds how they practiced this. And that was through the breaking of bread and prayers. So I don't know about you, but when I think about fellowship, I often think of, if any of you are ever been a part of Baptist circles, you usually had a place called the fellowship hall. And you know what the fellowship hall meant? Food. Whoever said food, they knew. They're real Baptists. They thought potluck. They thought casseroles, weird jello stuff that nobody ever knows really what's happening. Because that was for me growing up, that was some of the things that I always thought of when I thought fellowship. It meant food. And guess what? We were right. To have this fellowship hall like meant that we're going to have food together, because guess what? Part of the things that the early believers did is they were devoted to sharing together. But let me just clear this up, because the word fellowship is kind of a difficult translation. The word, and if you've been in Christian circles, you probably heard it. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, right? And this translation to fellowship is kind of difficult, but I want to share a little bit. Ben Witherington explained this a little bit better than I could, so I'm going to share what he says. He says this: the term koinonia is found only here in all of Luke and Acts. So Luke and Acts were written by Luke, just to clarify, and oftentimes kind of thought of one as one volume in some way. The term itself means a participation or sharing in common of something with someone else. In this case, eating and praying. Thus, listen to this, fellowship is not a very helpful translation, for fellowship is the result of koinonia, of sharing in common. It is not the koinonia itself. Koinonia is an activity which can result in fellowship of some sort and can entail things like sharing not just spiritual activities such as prayer, but also physical food or goods in common. You see, sharing was one of the primary things that the new believers, as they heard the teachings of Jesus, they were like, oh, we need to love one another and take care of one another. Sweet, what do we need to do? And they just immediately went, because like I said, this was a brand new community. It wasn't a deep community by any means, but because of their discipleship from the apostles to say, mimic the lifestyle of Jesus, they began sharing together and giving of themselves in crazy ways. So let me just kind of go through some of these. First off, they had a shared experience of of God's power amongst them, right? So you see in Acts 2:43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know, during this time, the apostles were doing mighty works of God, and it was a beautiful thing. And I might say, it was something that was not just beholden to that time, but that God has opened up opportunities throughout history for those signs and wonders to continue in so many ways. But this was, in this early time, this was a true mark of what an apostle was, is this act of God. And it actually kind of gets discipled, because later on you see both Philip and Stephen, who are not apostles, practicing these very wonders and signs, which meant like it wasn't just for the apostles for that day. There was a passing on of some regard. But here's the thing. I had the opportunity to come and visit and help do a little bit of setup for the women's TN testimony yesterday. And let me just say this. One of the goal for this whole afternoon was rehearsing the mighty acts of God. You see, these women were devoted to sharing stories of the mighty acts of God in their lives. I heard stories of miracle people who just kind of showed up and then we don't know where they're at and we don't know what happened. We hear stories of miracle babies, and we hear stories of miracle funding on miraculous levels. You see, what happened was these women were doing exactly what the early church was doing. They were sharing the stories of the mighty acts of God. And if this is part where we get to experience that together. When we're devoted to sharing with one another as a community in these things, our communities are going to grow in a deeper sense of community and doing this thing together, because they believe that God can do something greater than just showing up to church on Sunday. This is all. Like, showing up to church on Sunday is our act of obedience, of being together and sharing together. But imagine us seeing the mighty works of God, like we have in the past few weeks when we talk about some of the healings that have happened in just the past few weeks. And tell me this doesn't encourage us and deepen the community that's here, because we see God on the move. You see, they shared an experience of God's power among them. They also shared what God had given them. Acts 2 verses 44 through 45, it says this: all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Let me clarify this, because I think it's important. Don't think communists when you read this. Okay? Don't think communism or socialism or any of those things, because that's not what this talked about. However, what we see is the early church's willingness to share whatever they had to ensure that the needs of the body were taken care of. Why? Because likely they can remember the apostles' teachings reminding them of something like what is stated in Luke 12, 33 and verses 33 and 34, that says, don't store treasures up on earth where there's death and decay, but rather store treasure in heaven. The investment of their material goods was this idea of, like, we need to care for the needs of others. And let me say this. I want to commend this church on this level. I've seen care in some major ways happen right here in this church. And it's because some of the deep community that's already been developed here. I've seen people give charitably, take care of the needs of people, be willing to do whatever is necessary to care for the needs of others within this community. You see, if we weren't living in obedience to this sharing, we wouldn't experience some of the deep community that we have. And let me just say that As a church, we should always be thinking about how can we take care and share? How can we take care and share? Whatever God's given us. It doesn't mean that you need to sell your home and give it to somebody else. No, a lot of times what these people did is they just sold portions of their property. But guess what? Even in today's community, that would have been a radical movement. You see, the generosity of the people was influenced by the mighty acts of God and the teachings that they already learned together. They knew part of what we do is taking care of one another, and we enjoy doing it. So they shared what God had given them, and then they shared a common God in worship. They worshiped God together. Acts 2 verses 46 through 47. every day they continue to meet in the temple courts. We already read that. But here's where it gets interesting, because I don't think it stopped there. You see, for us, coming to church is kind of like what we would be the equivalent of the people going to temple. However, what happens is these people get done going to the temple, and then they go break bread in their homes, and they eat together with glad and sincere hearts. Listen, this is 3,000 people being dispersed amongst houses and places, and this is hospitality on like full glow up, right? This is hospitality at its finest. You see, their gladness that they had, this gladness and sincerity of heart, was doubtlessly motivated by more than the provision of the daily needs, though. They were aware that God was at work in their midst in a way that they were enjoying the benefits, not only of each other, but of a messianic salvation, the works of God among them. You see, the phrase translated sincere hearts occurs only here in the Greek Bible. But there is a related expression in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 2 where we see a sincerity of heart. And here's what it means. God's kindness to these believers bound them wholeheartedly to himself and to one another in fellowship of generous self-giving. They expressed their gladness and devotion to God by constantly praising him and caring for one another. We're taught in our Western capitalistic world, and I have no problem with capitalism, trust me. But let me just say this. A lot of times, what we see and what we view is something where what's mine is mine, and nobody else can mess with it. If we want to experience deep community, we must experience ways in which we can give of ourselves to those who are around us. A lot of times we equate a depth of community with this idea of like sharing our deepest, darkest things, or like this. There's a whole bunch of things that we call deep. But let me just say, the care and what we talk about in our connection groups is that we're the front lines of care. In connection groups, and we also are developing a care ministry right here in this church. This is where we're taking care of the needs of others, and this is what develops deep community according to Acts. It's not all the, oh, tell me all the deepest, darkest things in your world. It is learning and holding each other accountable to the teachings of Jesus and then sharing our needs and letting others provide it. So let me talk to two people. I want to talk to you, the person here that's like, I don't want to be a burden on somebody else. If that's you, if you have need and you withhold it from the church, you're missing out on experiencing community within the church. Let me speak to you who might be the one who has a lot but's not willing to give a lot. You're missing out on an opportunity for deep community within the church. For those of you who decide both, what I have is not my own, everything I have comes from God, so whatever you want to do, God, with my finances, with my money, with my property, with my cars, with my whatever, that is you walking out a depth of community by sharing together. And here's what happened. You see this at the end of Acts chapter 2, verse 47. They praise God together. They shared in worship together. And here's what happened. They enjoyed the favor of all people. And this is the crazy part. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I was just reading from the Surgeon General earlier this month. He talked about this idea. There's another epidemic that's coming up in America. And when I think Surgeon General, I usually think the warning on the side of a cigarette thing or something like that, right? But let me just speak to this. He goes on to say that there's an epidemic of loneliness in America. That this epidemic of loneliness, he states, this clearly began before COVID. This epidemic of loneliness, he goes on to list some of the symptoms that could potentially happen. And here's the crazy part. Much like any of the other things that you hear about, like prescriptions, and you see the advertisements, and they go on, and what's the final one typically? Death. And I'm like, why does every prescription potentially lead to death? That's a whole different story. But let me say this, that loneliness can decrease the span of life amongst people. Church, people are thinking about cheers and trying to find communities at bars, at clubs, going and playing sports together, doing all these things. And yet they walk away continually lonely. Church, what if I told you that our devotion to learning and devotion to sharing develops a deep community that the rest of the world is longing for? What if I told you that there's people in this world that are longing to see a community where it's not, and this is where we've gotten a black eye a little bit. We've been known more for what we disagree with than what we agree with, even amongst each other as Christians, right? We get such a, like, we get so wrapped up in arguing with each other at times that people are looking at our community saying, why would I want to be a part of that? Church, may that never be of CPC. May that never be of us. May we be a church that, though we come from vastly different places, we come and we're devoted to the teachings of Jesus. We're devoted to sharing with one another. And as a result, we find this deep community together. May we be a church that is so focused on these two core things that the rest of the world is kind of looking around and Spokane's looking and saying, man, have you heard of the CPC group? I don't know what those letters stand for, but they're about connection. And then we're like, well, that's the first C. So, you know, just saying. But imagine if we were the kind of church that was taking care of each other's needs, willing to sell the things that are valuable to us to take care of others' needs. We were so devoted to the teachings of Jesus that we would not waver from any of those things, but it became our main focus, and we didn't ditch out. Listen, it's real easy to tap out on church, connection groups, and any of these things. And I'm not saying that there's not life. I know life happens. I've talked to many of groups who are like, man, May's so hard. We've got so many things. And I was reminiscing just with a couple of people this week. I get it. I'm not saying that life doesn't happen. But what I am saying is if this is only a secondary or tertiary commitment to you, the community that you're looking for is going to be missed along the way. There's a reason why the author of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering of believers. And imagine the effect on our world is that if we became devoted to the teachings of Jesus and devoted to sharing with one another. And ultimately, what we'd have is this. And this is, I want you to remember this. Deep community happens when we're devoted to the teachings of Jesus. Deep community happens when we're transformed by the teachings of Jesus and by caring for each other's needs. That is what deep community is, being transformed by the gospel of Jesus and caring for the needs of others. That's it. If we have that as a community, we have all the depth that the early church needed. And guess what? That leaves room for confession. That leaves room for repentance. That leaves room for counseling. That leaves room for all these things because they're based on Scripture. Church, we can do this. We, in a lot of ways, have already experienced this. So church, I want to encourage you, keep going. If you're already doing this, keep going. If you need to grow in generosity, do it. You'll experience a deeper community. If you need to grow in letting your needs be known so that you could be cared for, do it. If you need to grow in learning, get together with a couple men, a couple women, a couple of students. It doesn't matter. Get together, read the Bible, let it affect you, and obey what it says. That's it. This Jesus and community and church thing is not hard. But we make it complicated. But church, we can develop a deep community. And that's what we do, how we do it, is a devotion to Jesus. A devotion develops deep community. Let me pray, and then we'll invite the music team up. Also, as I'm praying, prayer team, would you please come over here? I'm going to, we've got a prayer team, and if you need some prayer, whether it's we've been praying for healing, praying for anything that's going on in your world, we want to make sure that we're praying for you. So we have a prayer team that will be over here. As I'm praying, team, feel free, prayer team, feel free to come on up. So let me pray. Lord, you have done great things. You have done a mighty work amongst your people. And Lord, we long and desire to be a community that's devoted to you and that's devoted to caring for one another, that our fellowship is truly the kind of fellowship where we're giving of each other, loving one another, and developing these deep, deep roots because we're learning about you. Would you help us to be more and more conformed to the image of your Son today? In Jesus' name, amen.